You're tuned to 101.5 FM's podcast. A young Caboolture success story joins us today. As a member of the Queensland Youth Orchestra, Erin Fletcher has travelled to almost as many countries as the age she was when she was allowed to vote. She's currently playing with the Brisbane Regional Youth Orchestra and is close to ticking another 5 countries off her bucket list with them. Her total swag of countries visited has now reached 23. Underscoring her ability as a creative, Erin graduated from the Griffith School of Film and Television before succumbing to the urge to travel once again. Hi, Erin. Thanks for joining us. You know, with so many miles under your belt, have you got some great tips for solo travellers and really, in particular, young female travellers?
One of the things I do when I go out sort of solo, mm-hmm. when I fly solo, you'd say,
yep.
The first thing I do when I get into a new town is I try to do what I found is quite common in Europe is a free walking tour. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not entirely free. You do tip the guide at the end what you think the tour is worth.
Yes.
That way, rather than being paid for a set tour and doing an okay job, the better job they do, the more money they'll make. So they're, I guess, more motivated to make sure that you enjoy your tour, whether it be 2-3 hour walking tour or not.
Okay.
So that's a good way I found to get not only a background on the town that you've just arrived in, but to orient yourself. Because I know arriving sometimes you look at everything and go, oh my goodness, where do I start? But with a nice walking tour, and they often do them in mornings or afternoons, early afternoons, it's a good way just to sort of set yourself up.
I know when we've gone overseas, you usually hop on a bus, do a little bus tour around, you go, oh, that's something I really want to see, and you can come back again tomorrow or something like that. So similar situation.
Yeah, similar thing. But I guess this is a bit more interactive because you've got a local person doing it.
Yes. Yes, okay. And normally they have uni students that are there telling you about it, which is good. And as you say, the more information that they give you, the more likelihood you are of tipping them very, very well.
Yes.
Yes.
But good also they give you some great recommendations on restaurants, where to eat, where to go, what to see, whether somewhere to avoid. So it's a nice way of just getting, I guess, the lowdown on the local area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are some of the experiences that you've had in booking accommodation, for instance?
I do go through the website because I think, as I have said before, it's much, much easier to get everything sorted if something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's just balancing what fits your budget, because that's always important when travelling, is a good budget, and making sure that you're within the town, making sure that, I guess, walking distance, or if with well-connected in the public transport, like with public transport. But also making sure that the area you're staying is perhaps not, how would I say, it would be a bit of a safer area for you to stay. So just keeping a balance of everything, I think, mm-hmm. is good for accommodation.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that probably one of the most important things is that before you leave here, you must have somewhere to stay when you first get there, and it's okay to look around after that. Would that be right?
Everyone does it differently. I've known people just to book flights and then land in an area. I met one person in a hostel who was busking for his accommodation. He would just go out, bus for the day, and if he got enough money, he'd go back to the hostel and ask to stay another night. I personally will have transport and accommodation booked, and everything else I sort of wing. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's up to everyone.
Yeah.
Some people couch surf, some people pay for lovely hotels, but it's just what sort of adventure you're wanting.
Goodness me. And I'm just thinking in regards to the accommodation, are the youth hostels the way to go, or is it better to try some other way, other form of accommodation?
There's so many ways.
Yes.
There are websites that you can couch surf, often for free. I've never done it myself, so I don't know how safe they are, but I know that that's one avenue. There's a lovely Facebook group called Host a Sister, where women travelling can host other women mm-hmm. in their homes and either give a tour or just have a couple hours to sort of tour guide them around, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I try to stay in nicer hostels.
Okay.
Myself. Okay.
So, and that's good as well, and if you can do it. Because, Erin, you actually do a lot of working overseas as well, don't you?
Yes.
So I'm imagining that you would work for an amount of time in an area and perhaps live in a share house or something like that, save up your money, which then enables you to move on. I'm thinking that's what you've told me previously.
I have since recently moved jobs, so I'm very lucky that I do shift work now. So I'm lucky that I have a break in a roster. So I do a lovely 3 12-hour shifts.
Yes.
So it means I get 4 days off a week to go
and do find all the other things that you want to do
that I would like to go.
Wonderful. I'm going to ask you to stay with me for a little bit longer because we need to ask some more questions, Erin.
Absolutely.
And we were just mentioning working in the UK. If I was eligible to work in the UK, where would I start? And I'm starting from here, downtown Queensland, okay?
Yes, I would start on the UK government website because that is the clearest, that's the place with the clearest information and it's direct from the UK government because you don't want to get that wrong.
No.
But I personally applied for the Youth Mobility Visa. And that's for people aged 18 to 35 years old. And that lasts 2 years initially. And then people from Australia, New Zealand and Canada can apply to extend that visa for one further year, which I have done.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay a healthcare surcharge and a visa application fee. And then they ask that you have £2,500 in savings, which equates to about $5,200. But I would recommend you have a bit more, at least 8,000, just because if you're going to go for a rental, that's you're going to pay your rent and your bond at the same time, and then a lot of UK jobs will pay monthly, so it will be a while before your first paycheck.
Okay, so that's a really good little bit of information. How about ensuring your passport and everything else is valid and up to date and visas? Is that very difficult at all?
So with insurance, a lot of insurance companies will want you to start in Australia and return back to Australia. But if you're moving to another country, only a few will sort of do one-way insurance for your travel across because once you pay for the healthcare surcharge, you're covered in the UK to use their medical system.
Oh, well, that's good to know isn't it?
It's better to, if you're going to go travelling from the UK, is to find an insurance company in the UK to cover your travels that will start in the UK and finish in the UK, but also to make sure you have aeromedical evacuation and repatriation in there too covered.
Now that can happen from Australia or does that happen in the UK?
I've never had to use it myself.
No.
But I imagine if you're buying an insurance from the UK, it would return you back to the UK.
Okay, wow, that's good to know. Now, are there any other little things that you think our listeners probably should know about, and particularly our younger listeners?
Yes. I would recommend people follow the DFAT website and the Smart Traveller website on Facebook and Instagram because they do regularly post. I see it all the time on my feeds. Just to be aware of scams and theft areas in the area you're moving to. But the one that I would recommend, which I didn't encounter till I got there, so this is a bit of a lesson learnt for me, is any accounts that require you to verify yourself, that send a link or some sort of code or link to your mobile number, like a bank account, say, try to change that to something else. So when I say that, what I mean is answering questions instead of having something sent to your mobile number or being emailed a link rather than being texted a link, because when you move to a new country, you'll have a new phone number.
Oh, okay.
So I got caught out because I couldn't access accounts because they couldn't send me a link open.
Yeah.
So change all that if you can before you go.
Okay, that's before you go.
Before you go.
Okay. And, well, that's a good one. Is that on any of the websites to make you think about it? No.
No, that's just something that I learnt on the go.
Oh, and a hard lesson learnt, no doubt, by the sounds of it.
Yes, I was very lucky that I had a mum who helped me fix it on the Australian end.
Oh, my goodness me, yes. It's that phone call home is very precious at that point in time. Look, you have been so many places, and I think it's almost 23 countries.
Yes.
Before I let you go, just give me a couple of little snippets about some of the wonderful things that you've done, seen and experienced. Yeah.
Gosh, that's that's not a quick question.
No, it isn't. But it's, I'm going to make you be it fairly quick.
Okay.
But just give us an idea, love. Yeah.
I know, I've always had travel, I guess, in my blood. I grew up doing a lot of road trips around Queensland, so naturally I've just progressed to paying for my own flights around the world. But I think the biggest thing is that people are a lot nicer and lovelier.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier.
That can sometimes be made out to be. I know sometimes the news is not always the happiest, but I found people to be just lovely and will have a chat with you and help you out where they can.
Might be a little bit of treat people the way you'd like to be treated, do you think, Erin?
Yes, and I know that as Australians we're quite welcoming of people coming to our country. I think a lot of people are the same for their own. They want you to enjoy experience what they experience.
Yeah. Any favourite? Now, you said earlier that Scotland might be up there, top of your list, and I think a lot of us that have been to Scotland feel similar. Is there another couple of little countries that you think are probably a little bit out of the way, perhaps, that aren't on everyone's list?
I think a lot of Eastern Europe. I only spent a very brief amount of time there. It wasn't a long tour, but I really loved Bulgaria and Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Oh, Dubrovnik and yes, just mentioning a couple more. Yes.
Yes, it just is such a stunning area and it's not as well travelled. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm trying to, my next country to get to is Montenegro.
Okay.
In that same sort of area.
Yeah. Wonderful. And I'm just thinking, you're home now for a little while, heading off again. So you will be going straight back to the UK, I'm imagining, with this wonderful job that you have.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And the plan is to work there for quite a while. But I'm thinking with those 4 days, I mean, everything's so close once you get to the UK. Mm-hmm. You can do it in 4 days, can't you? Just whip over and have a few days here and a few days there.
Yes, but then, the budget also says no sometimes.
And you've got to be very aware of that budget the whole time.
Yes, because you only get paid monthly in the UK.
Yeah, okay.
So you have to be mindful of where your money's going.
Yes, absolutely. Erin, I'm delighted that you've had a little chat with us this morning. I think you've given us a bit of an overview of what it's like to be a young female lone traveller.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to have done it very, very nice. So, look, just to wrap up, an Australian can work in the UK.
Yes.
They must obtain the appropriate work visas, of course.
Yes.
And I think you've said as of the 8th of January this year, Aussies need to have an electronic travel authorisation or an ETA to visit the UK.
That's correct,
that's good. Okay. And in your opinion, is it worth moving to the UK from Australia?
I think if you're wanting to do a lot more travel in Europe and some of the other countries are closer to, I think it's definitely worth it. It's something I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yes, it's quite scary at the start, but you settle in
and
you get into your rhythm. So I think it's definitely worth it.
Wonderful. Erin Fletcher, thanks for joining us here on 101.5 FM's podcast.
Lovely to be here.
Happy little traveller, and we hope that you enjoy many more happy adventures. And we hope to see you back whenever you come back.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Erin.
Thanks, Rosemary.